This is the OTP, sponsored by your good friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans is healthcare coverage the way it should be. High quality, sensibly priced, and easy to apply for at FBHP.com. Mike Keith and Amy Wells, late on this Thursday afternoon, September 8th. We are in the window within 72 hours of kickoff for the Tennessee Titans 2022 season. It is rapidly approaching now.
It is rapidly approaching. We are right in the thick of it. It's been really good to be back in a regular season flow. I don't know about you, Mike Keith, but I miss it. I miss the consistency. I miss the pace. I miss the excitement of a regular season week of game day prep. Like, I really enjoy that. And so for week one, I'm always very excited to be back because it feels like home. It just feels good.
Wow.
So I'm very excited.
It feels like home.
It feels like home. My body knows how to do this. There's a lot of stuff I don't know how to do, but I know how to do a game week.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Because it is game week.
It is game week. You're not sharing my enthusiasm.
Well, I'm just kidding. I mean, you were going into something poetic there, and I didn't want to interrupt.
I guess I'm just feeling some type of way today.
You're feeling some type of way today. Injury report for Thursday is out. Again, Titans defensive backs Lonnie Johnson and Elijah Molden do not practice. Added to the do not practice list is linebacker Chance Campbell. Limited participants in practice today, Jamarco Jones with a triceps injury and Ola Adeniyi with a neck injury. He is new to the injury list. Giants did not practice on Thursday. They're doing that kind of funky thing where they practice on Tuesday, practice on Wednesday, and then take Thursday off before going back onto the field Friday and Saturday. I don't know if they're going to do that the whole season, but some teams do that on a regular basis.
It's very interesting. Not many teams do that, but there are some that do. When you talk about being in the flow of a regular season week, that just really trips my brain up. I've never been with a team that does it that way, but I can see the benefits to it.
So Jeff Fisher started doing that later in his career, but he didn't do it with the Titans. He did do that with the Rams. The feeling is you give the fellas a chance to get off their feet on Thursdays to bounce back from the Tuesday and Wednesday practice, and then potentially they're fresher when they get to Friday and Saturday for their prep towards Sunday.
So I guess my question is, after a Sunday, you play a game on Sunday, on the back end, is that kind of a heavier lift on Monday and Tuesday, or are those...
Well, there are some people who feel like that you should be doing something on Tuesday to sort of get the soreness out. So you take Monday and it's a little light. Tuesday, you're just working the soreness out. It's not a heavy day of practice. Wednesday is a heavy day of practice. Then you're off Thursday. And then you come back with a little more than the average Friday on Friday.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a different sort because normally it's off Monday, off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, very light on Saturday.
Yeah. Huh. Well, hopefully it doesn't work for them.
Okay.
I mean, we're playing them in 72 hours.
That's right.
I don't want them to be successful.
In case you have not heard, the officiating crew for this game is led by Jerome Boger, and he is in his 19th year. I found these things pretty interesting. Occupations.
Yes.
He is a retired insurance underwriter.
Really?
That's what he did.
Okay.
Now, the majority of his crew, five of his six guys are back.
Wow.
So this is a crew that will have six of seven back for the 2022 season. So they have continuity. They do have one of the 10 rookie officials, however. Field Judge Alonzo Ramsey is coming into the league for the first time, and this will be his first NFL game.
As a rookie official, it's probably nice to be with a team that has such consistency. There's not a lot of change up there. It's easier probably to get in a groove to understand how everything works.
As we record this, the Titans, speaking of rookies, have 11 rookies on their roster.
Wow.
If 10 or more play on Sunday against the Giants, that'll be a Titans record.
Is it really?
It would be a record. Now, here are the rookies. Ryan Stonehouse, the punter, he's going to play. Malik Willis, backup quarterback.
You wouldn't think.
Wouldn't think. Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Kyle Phillips, wide receiver, Roger McCray, defensive back, Hassan Haskins, running back, Trey Avery, cornerback, Julius Chestnut, running back, Chance Campbell, linebacker, Nicholas Petit-Frere, offensive tackle, Chig Okonkwo, tight end. I don't think they're going to get to 10.
No, I don't think so either. But still,
close.
That's a lot of rookie presence and a lot of people who are being expected to perform, even if it's not a record. It's still a lot.
9 is the record, and that happened on September 11th, 2004 at Miami. That was a game that was played on a Saturday because they were anticipating a hurricane. And so at the very end of the week, they moved this game up to Saturday. So we hurriedly got out of town on Friday night, got to Miami, got up, played the game the next day in what was just a crazy sort of windy day. The hurricane did not end up hitting, however.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens in Miami, especially weather-related.
Counting the 11 rookies, there are 21 new players on the Titans' 53-man roster, which is a lot. Last year, the Titans added 18 new players. So here are the 10 veteran newcomers. We've already mentioned the 11 rookies. Wide receiver Robert Woods, defensive back Lonnie Johnson, defensive back Joshua Kalu, who's not really new, but he's new from last year.
Right.
Kalu was on the Giants injured reserve a year ago. So Joshua Kalu, Ugo Amadi, defensive back, A.J. Moore, defensive back, Derek Tuska, outside linebacker, Dennis Daly, offensive lineman, Jamarco Jones, offensive lineman, Austin Hooper, tight end, DeMarcus Walker, defensive lineman.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. For a team that won that many games, your normal turnover is like 13 to 18. It's like 25% to 33% roughly of your roster. That's a normal for a team that returns the same GM and the same head coach. So this goes to show, I mean, when you look at why it happened and when you look at who the newcomers are, there was obviously turnover at wide receiver.
Yes.
So you drafted them, you traded for them. There was some turnover in the secondary.
Yep.
So you did a few things there, and you've had some injuries in camp. You had to let some guys go because of salary cap reasons, and that drew in some other players. And then you're just trying to get better.
Right.
You know, you were just trying to improve yourself in different areas. You took a quarterback in the draft in the third round. You took a running back in the fourth round of the draft. So on and so forth.
It's very interesting. Well, and you have to think also, the Titans roster that they ended the season with was dramatically different than the roster they started the season with. And so that changes a couple things, too. You had some people that were on that roster that didn't have long-term contracts or have any sort of extended commitment to the team.
Well, there weren't plans for all of these guys because the basis was you needed a person now.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So maybe a little bit more turnover than normal to all of the reasons you mentioned before, but also because there were a lot of people on the roster who weren't intended to be there long term.
The Giants come into this game with their new head coach, Brian Daboll. He is the 20th head coach in Giants history.
Wow.
Which is pretty interesting. I mean,
that feels like a lot. I guess they've been around
for a long time.
Well, I mean,
they're a 100-year history.
Okay, that's true.
I mean, they are a franchise they're one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. Been to 5 Super Bowls, won 4 of them. So they've got a tremendous amount of history. And they are the reason, in many ways, for the success of the NFL, because at the time where college football was so much bigger than the NFL, even toward the late 50s, they had an opportunity to get their own TV deal because they were the New York Giants. And they said, no, we should make a TV deal and share it with everybody.
That's so nice.
Well, I mean, I guess, sure. But I didn't expect you to say nice.
Well, I mean, it is. And think about how
it changed everything.
The impact of one decision.
Because the whole thing with the league, and to a certain extent, our media in this country is still centered around New York.
Yes.
Because that's really where it started. That's where it came from. And if you have that in your mind, you can see how a network would go to the New York Giants and say, we'll carry all your games. Because to the people in New York,
it's everything.
It's everything. And they think it's New York and then it's the rest of the country. You know, it's amazing when we would meet people from New York who would come here early in the days of the Titans, they didn't really know where Nashville was.
Oh, no. People from New York, being from Missouri,
mm-hmm.
telling someone you're from Missouri to a person from New York, no clue.
Where is that?
Yeah. It could be anywhere from about where Ohio is to about where...
Oregon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oregon is, or Wisconsin.
Right.
Like, they have no idea in any direction
there is
what exists outside of New York.
There is no spatial awareness about the rest of the country in that way.
Texas, California.
Right.
That's about
they
it.
Know where Los Angeles is.
Mm-hmm.
It's far.
Yeah.
And... But
yeah.
that, I mean, that's okay. The people from New York have obviously, with the league office and with everything that goes with the media that covers the National Football League, they have come to love Nashville. It is a favorite spot to visit, to eat, to watch football, to talk to the people. Many of them fell in love with it with the draft, but there were a lot who fell in love with it just with the early days of the Titans because they would come here, and I have friends from up there who would say, this place is really nice. I'm like, yeah, that's why I live here.
Thank you.
I thought it was wonderful for many years. But again, the Giants, Big Blue, I mean, it's a whole thing. And there are people in this part of the country who grew up following the Giants. And they are one of those flagship teams. So they're trying to get back on track right now after going 22-59 in the last five seasons, which is hard to believe because over the course of my lifetime and your lifetime, they've been good.
Yeah. They've been great for a long time. And you kind of, there are some franchises that when you think about them, you think, oh, womp womp, you know, but the Giants are never that way. Even when they're not having a great season, you don't think of the Giants as a team that's struggling.
But they have been.
But they have been.
They have been recently. There's no doubt. So
the lore overrides the actual.
Big story out of New York this week is that Brian Daboll, the former Buffalo offensive coordinator, will not call the plays. It'll be Mike Kafka, who is a former NFL quarterback, came over from Kansas City. He will call the plays. Mike Kafka is a former Titan.
Really?
Rhett Bryan pointed this out to me, and I remembered it after he said it to me, and I went and I looked it up. Mike Kafka was on the Titans practice squad from December 16th, 2015, to December 22nd, 2015. He was a Titan for 6 days on the practice squad.
Here?
You were here?
Yeah.
Ashley Farrell was here. We were all here. Mike Kafka, for 6 days, was on the Titans practice squad in 2015, which is a very forgettable year, by the way.
Very forgettable.
I wonder what he remembers about his 6 days in Nashville. The Marriott, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the room service.
Well, he probably stayed up the street here at the Millennium
Maxwell
House.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So he probably went to the Quick Mart on the corner.
Yeah, I'm sure he ate at the McDonald's.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah, Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's.
I'm sure he ate at Jersey Mike's. Went to the Starbucks on the corner.
It was there in 2015.
Yeah, and that's...
Taco Bell, Wendy's down here.
He probably about it.
He probably didn't have a lot of... Well, I remember that whole 6 days I was here.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't, like, go see the Parthenon or...
But
anything like
hey,
that.
I'm going to tell you, Mike Kafka's going to be a head coach in this league.
Yeah.
He's 35 years old. He played at Northwestern. He was a quarterback in this league and kind of bounced around for 6 years, originally a fourth-round draft pick. And his ascent has been so rapid, much like a Mike Vrabel. I think a lot of people think Kafka, if he can get Daniel Jones and this offense going, is going to be sort of that next-level guy.
Were you surprised when it was announced that he would be the one calling the plays? Because that was not the assumption.
That was not the assumption, but I think everybody realizes he's a boy wonder, and I think Daboll, in especially having been with Nick Saban, you know, he was with Bill Belichick, he's been with Nick Saban. I mean, he's been with some really good coaches, Sean McDermott in Buffalo. I think he sees that as the head coach, especially at this moment in time right now, it's probably better if he just concentrates on being the head coach.
Did you say he's 35?
Kafka.
Yeah, Kafka's 35. Mm-hmm. Wow. Offensive coordinator in the NFL, 35.
Right. That's pretty good. Well, you know one thing, yeah. one thing he's going to do is he's going to hand the ball to Saquon Barkley a bunch.
Yes.
And we had the opportunity on our Wednesday night radio show, which is on Titans Radio, including 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. It's called Titans Tonight. It's with Keith Bullock. You may remember him. He played linebacker for the team, and he was good.
He was good.
So we got into a great discussion because you think about Keith Bullock's career and how many great running backs he and the Titans defense took on, and in many cases stymied in a big way. And so we got into sort of a roundtable discussion, Amy, Rhett Bryan, Keith Bullock, and myself, about the keys to stopping Saquon Barkley. Here's that segment from Titans Tonight earlier this week, actually on Wednesday, on Titans Radio.
Everybody has to be at the point of attack, and by that mean he can, you know, take it inside, bounce it, jump cut. You know, if there's a crease there, he's going to take it. You know, you just have to build a wall. We, you know, when we played against him, it was a couple years ago, but, you know, our good plays were ones where we had the edge set and there was, you know, not a whole lot of space inside, and trying to avoid those opportunities where there's just one guy making a tackle on him, because those are difficult.
All right. So you've done it against all kinds of backs. Jerome Bettis, you know, Jamal Lewis.
Brandon Jacobs.
I can go on and on. What's the key from the linebacker position for the entire defense to slowing down a back like this guy who has a lot to prove and he's finally healthy?
Well, I would think that his style is most, you know, in this size, you know, you can kind of, you know, compare him to a Fred Taylor, maybe, with minus the quick, not as quick or as fast, but he's still just his style that he plays. He's able to catch, can run between the tackles, can do all the things you ask of him on the football field. So it actually starts, it started on Monday, since it's the first game of this year. As a linebacker, I'm letting my whole defensive unit know, and you heard Mike Vrabel say at the end of that presser that we just heard, that, you know, the one-on-one tackles, you don't want to be in too many one-on-one situations with this guy. So that's why I say I'm making sure that my defensive line knows, as well as my safeties, that, look, we got to gang tackle this guy early and often. And me as a linebacker, I would assume if I were like Schwartz, with Jim Schwartz, who was our coordinator at the time, would always give me the assignment, like on third down or those blitzing downs of the one-on-one, you know, matchup, whether it's man-to-man and passing situations. So someone like Saquon, you can't let him get going. You know, you gotta snuff him out in the run early. Hopefully some of those D linemen get some big hits on him. You'd be surprised when a defensive lineman is able to get a solid hit on a running back, how much it slows them down. I remember one year we were playing Ricky Williams here, the Ricky Williams that won the rushing title, and I was in the hole, and he cut back into Robert Smith, and it was like one of the biggest collisions I've ever, like it was just crazy. And then, but you could tell that took a lot of steam out of the way Ricky Williams was hitting the hole. So you get some big hits on him and gang tackle him and frustrate him. You know, he'll come back in the second half thinking he's going to get, but that's just the formula. You know, get to him, cut off his running lanes, gang tackle him, be real physical with him, and running backs don't like that.
How dangerous is a player like that, though, to the way Mike described him is completely correct. He's healthy. He's motivated. He's kind of angry at a lot of people for a lot of things. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and it's week one. So he's starting right out of the gate. He wants to set the tone for this season. He's got something to prove. How dangerous is a guy like that?
He's very dangerous because he's one of those guys. You know, the guys that scared me the most weren't like the Brandon Jacobs or the bigger guys. You know, they can take it the distance if they get a crease. But these guys, a guy like Saquon, one missed tackle, he's cutting against the grain, and he's going 85 yards. You know, and you bring up a very, very, very critical and important point. It's the first game of the season, and we normally see in the first game of the season very poor tackling. The Titans have to be great tacklers on a guy like this. You know, that's why it has to be. I don't care if everyone's running to the ball and people are missing, you know, but if people are constantly getting to the ball, one person missed, second person missed, but the third and fourth guy is going to clean it up. So you need to see gang tackling. You definitely don't want to see one-on-ones.
What is the reason for that? The tackling being, is it just knocking some rust off? Is that what makes it a little more tricky in week one?
Nah, I think, you know, the way that the offseason is in the preseason is formatted, you know, they're not tackling necessarily. I don't know, I'm not in camps, but I'm sure they're not tackling to the ground in camps. And, you know, they're not even getting live reps until the first game of the season. We were speaking earlier, you know, back in the day, you know, Jeff would have us, not that I agreed with it, but he would have us out there until like the second, third quarter in the third and fourth game. And for me as a player, I always worried about like, man, am I as good as I was last year? And I would have a hard time going into the first game of the season without making a play. In the preseason, I always made it a point to go out there and make a play. I mean, we'll be sitting in the room and Coach Mack will just be running the film and we're not game planning anything, but I knew as a pro that, yeah, these basic plays, I'm going to make a play out there. So I think that's where the rust comes from, just guys not having enough live reps to get out there and tackle someone full speed.
Keith, something I've always wondered about you when you played for the Titans, and not to stereotype all big physical backs, but how much did an Eddie George, you seeing him in practice and going 2 days and those things back then, prepare you for these battles that you're describing?
It was great to go against Eddie. Although, you know, our practices would be a little more turned up. You know, yeah. Jeff didn't want you to, you know, hit the starters, but Eddie was with whatever. So, you know, we'd bang a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not wrapping up and doing all those things, but we're going to run into each other full speed and, you know, let it be what it is. It was a mentality, you know, like I got here and there was just a mentality. You know, I was told how to play against Jerome Bettis. I was told how to play against Corey Dillon. I was told how to play against, you know, the Fred Taylors, the Eric Retz and all the older school guys when I came in. So then, look, you don't want to be on that film looking a certain way. So you take your shot and you just hope you end up on the right side of the play.
Keith Bullock is always entertaining. Always.
He is. And he has very good insight.
He has tremendous insight. Again, Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, sponsored by Pinnacle Financial Partners, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone. We also do the Mike Vrabel Show on Monday nights on Titans Radio, sponsored by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Isn't that nice?
I should give them a reader right here, shouldn't I?
That would have been a really great segue.
No matter your life stage, you can plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for great health care coverage with a sensible price tag. Visit FBHP.com.
Well done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. On the Monday night edition this past week of the Mike Vrabel Show, 6 o'clock on Titans Radio, that's 6 Central, I had Kevin Kugler on. Kevin Kugler is a really good announcer. He's been working baseball all summer. Now he's starting to do football for Fox, and guess which game he drew this week?
Ours.
Titans-Giants.
There it is.
He'll work with Mark Sanchez and your friend Laura Oakman.
Big Laura Oakman fan.
Nashvillean Laura Oakman.
She is a Nashvillean.
Yes, and so they'll have a good crew. They're getting this game. By the way, they're getting to go to London in just a few weeks, so they're pretty fired up about that.
Yeah.
Getting that trip. But in talking with him, I wanted to know from way outside, and he's in Nebraska. He's a Nebraska Cornhusker.
Ugh.
What?
We don't mess with Nebraska and Missouri.
You don't?
No, we don't mess with those people.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're not in Missouri, though. You're in
he's
Tennessee.
He's a Midwestern man.
He is.
That is very nice.
He is a 1994 Nebraska graduate. So from the 35,000-foot view of Lincoln, Nebraska, or maybe he lives in Omaha, but he's a Nebraska guy. What are the storylines as he prepares to do this broadcast and come to Nashville? Some of our talk from Monday night with Kevin Kugler on the Mike Vrabel Show from Titans Radio.
Kevin, you're doing the game on Fox on Sunday, and every week, whether it's Fox or CBS or NBC or whomever has the game, there are storylines that the national media will pull out of every game. There are generally three. Obviously, one is people want to see what the new-look Giants look like. I think they people want to see Derrick Henry. Is he back from the foot injury? But the other one that jumps out to me is how does Ryan Tannehill respond after an end to 2021 that was not what he or anybody else wanted? What do you think Tannehill has to do to start to answer that question?
I think what he has to do, and I don't want to use the word manage, because game management associated with a quarterback seems to be sort of a stigma. I don't approve of that notion. I think that's one of the main jobs of a quarterback is to manage the game. And what that could mean is maybe he has to throw for 300 yards or maybe he has to hand it off 30 times. To me, managing the game means you're managing something to get the win. It's no different to me that you're managing a store, you're managing a business, you're managing it however you need to manage it to be profitable, to be successful. Well, that's the same thing for me as a quarterback. If you're managing the game, to me, that means you're doing what you need to do to get the win. Nothing else matters in this league other than at the end of the day, do you have a W? But what I think you need to see from Ryan Tannehill is how did he recover from that dark space that he talked about at the end of the season, and where does he go this year? Having Derrick Henry back certainly helps. A defense that hopefully will be better for the Titans helps as well. But I think Ryan Tannehill just needs to go out and play a clean game on Sunday. Go out, play clean, navigate your team to a win, and a lot of that dies down after week one. Once you see that he's able to navigate the team to a season-opening win, then you kind of settle into what the season brings you and the ups and downs of a regular season. But I think that's the thing that people are going to want to see coming out of the gate is, all right, what's he doing to make sure this team wins this game? They're favored, I think, by 5.5 in the early line. Make sure that they do what they have to do to win. However you get there, to me, doesn't matter a whole lot as long as you get there. And I think that's what people are going to want to see from Ryan Tannehill.
Kevin Kugler, who is the Titans player or players that, in your opinion, does not get discussed enough nationally for what they really are as an NFL standout?
Oh, boy, that is a great question, because the names at the top of the list are Ryan Tannehill, they are Derrick Henry, they are, you know, big names on the defensive side of the ball. But when you're looking around this Tennessee Titans team and you say, all right, give me one guy that you look at as a standout that nobody is talking about, I'm probably going to say, there's a couple of names that I'd like to, you know, I love Bud Dupree. If I could see him be a standout, I think Zach Cunningham has the potential to be an outstanding player. He certainly made his name in Houston as a tackler, always around the ball. I know people liked him as well, and that's somebody that you could really look for as a star in the making on the defensive side. And look, there are a couple of guys at wide receiver, Robert Woods, Westbrook as well, that I think have the chance to be really, really big names that Titans fans are going to be very excited about again as this season goes on.
All right, give me a couple of rookies on either side, or pick one from both teams, who you think will factor into this game on Sunday in an interesting way, Kevin.
Wandale Robinson for the Giants, I think, has to factor in an interesting way because they don't have playmakers at the wide receiver spot. And I think that's an area in which you can maybe see some impact at that wide receiver spot. It's a tricky spot for them right now. They just don't have a whole lot in that room. And I think that's a place that you really need to find some impact. And I think he's a guy who certainly has the potential at least to make an impact. And I know everybody would, you know, the quarterback position always gets the discussion, always gets the love. And so, you know, you think, oh, Malik Willis. Well, no, I think Ryan Tannehill's your guy right now at quarterback. I'm looking at Burks at the wide receiver spot. You're talking about one of the top two or three receivers, depending on how the game goes. And I'm anxious to see what he can bring from a rookie standpoint at that wide receiver spot.
I want to talk about Wandale Robinson just a little bit because you're a Nebraska guy. He was at Nebraska for two seasons and then transferred to Kentucky and exploded. Did you have any idea in 2019 and 2020 that he could be eventually an explosive college player and a second-round pick that you would be talking about as part of a preview in the first game of his rookie year?
I'm not sure I thought that much. I will say this. His skill set was evident as a young player at Nebraska. The problem he ran into at Nebraska is they were trying to figure out ways to get any level of skill on the field in an offense that was sorely lacking at the skill positions. And so they put him at running back, and he got banged up a lot. Now, he never begged out. He never tapped out. He just kept going out there and playing, but he got punished and in a position that wasn't necessarily suited for his skill set. I mean, they would line him up in single back sometimes and hand him the ball and run between the tackles because he was a playmaker that they didn't have on their roster. So to have him in that position and then see him go to an offense where he was put in a position with other skill set guys around him that took a little bit of that pressure off him, it doesn't surprise me to see him get the high pick. Now, it does surprise me that I'm talking about him as somebody who could make a big impact on a game on Sunday, and I think that's partly him, and I think that's partly the fact that you don't know what's going on with Kadarius Toney. You don't know what's going on with Kenny Galladay. Neither of those guys caught a touchdown pass last season for the Giants. They're in that position that Nebraska was in. They need somebody in that wide receiver room to make plays.
Kevin Kugler.
Straight out of Nebraska.
Straight out of Nebraska. Is that a thing?
Don't think so.
Are you straight out of Nebraska?
They beat Mizzou a lot of times.
Is that right?
It was pretty ugly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Some wounds just
they
never
used
heal.
To have a good team there.
Yeah, they used to have a great team. It was really, really disappointing as a Mizzou fan.
How excited are you about going to the stadium in less than 72 hours and wearing your get-up for the sidelines and just being ready to go back on and work a ball game on Titans Radio?
I am so excited to be back. My get-up is going to get wet, I think.
We hope not.
I'm hoping not, but
Rhett Bryan's acting like it might not get here. Meteorologist Rhett Bryan.
Yeah, and I trust Rhett Bryan.
The ever-reliable Rhett Bryan, acting as if that rain might not get here until Sunday night. It's going to be close.
I hope he's right. I'm preparing for the worst. But there's something about game day in Nashville that is different. It's just better than anywhere else. The drive-in is great because you drive through where all the tailgates are happening. I'm excited about being in that environment with all of the fans back. I mean, golly, after having a couple years of fan attendance being different.
And the Titans tickets have sold.
Titans tickets Woo! Have sold like crazy.
Woo!
And people are fired up.
I know.
Man, kickoff week has been incredibly successful. And just hearing the buzz around this program right now, I'm so excited to get everybody in one place, be cheering on the Titans, and just have it be loud and rowdy. That's what I'm looking for.
My stomach hurts now.
Does it?
My stomach started hurting Wednesday night.
Whoa, that's early for you.
Oh, it's awful. I like a 3:25 kickoff.
Mm-hmm. It gives you more time in the morning, though.
You get up, and you don't have to get up at 5:30 or something and get rolling, which is nice, but I'll probably still get up at 5:30 because it's like, oh, man, I just can't. Every first game weekend, I'm just ill.
It's a tone setter.
Yeah, but I mean, I just, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, I'm so nervous. And I mean, I'm nervous for what we do, but I'm really nervous for the team and the season because you want it, you're like, this has got to be the year.
Right, but here's the thing, Mike, it's glass half empty versus glass half full. This is the year.
Well,
you know why? Because nothing has happened to make it not be the year.
Well,
yet.
I know.
This is like the best week of the year.
I love it. Until now.
No.
Now that my head, I mean, I've
We're
to take,
going all the way.
I'm going to have to take like 8 Excedrin.
Why not us, Mike?
Well, I don't disagree why not us, but you're just like, oh, you know, you.
And you want it.
You want it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw somebody last night, I was talking with him about the Titans, like, oh, come on, just broke me when we lost to Cincinnati. I'm like, how do you think I felt?
Yeah.
Hello?
It was dark.
Hello?
It's not great.
We were there, too.
Ah, but Mike.
It's like when people say things like, in a bad game, they'd be like, yeah, it wasn't good, so I left early in the fourth quarter. I can't leave.
Nope, we're trapped.
You can't leave.
We're trapped in this.
like we don't know? Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, we live in it.
Ashley Farrell's laughing.
We live in it.
Okay.
No, but this is exciting.
So let's do this. Let's have a light moment on the OTP.
To help your head.
To share just a little bit of laughter.
I think that's good.
And
yeah. Let
me tell you what this has to do with. Okay. So our friend Ben Odo of the Maury and Ben Show, both writers and comedians, and you've been a guest on their show. Coach Mack has taken over their show before.
I've been a guest on their show.
They only do it once a year now because they're both doing different things. But he has done, what would you call it, a short?
It is a short, is it a documentary?
Sort of. But yeah. I can promise you it's funny. And if you've seen the bachelorette parties in Nashville, especially on the weekends. And if you go to the game this weekend,
you'll see them.
And if you go to brunch before the game downtown, you are going to see the bachelorette parties.
Yes.
Nashville has become the bachelorette party capital of America. So he's done this film.
It is called Nashville Bachelorettes, a Ben Odo Investigation.
Okay, so our friend Ben Odo, who's a Titans fan, did an interview with us to talk about this. Let's share a moment of levity and learn about this short from our friend Ben Odo on the OTP. Ben Odo, welcome back. We are glad to see you again.
I'm glad to be here. Great to see you guys.
This is going to be so fun.
You've seen Ben since I have because you and Coach Mack went on the Ben and Maury show last year.
We did. We did. Mac and I, we went for like a one-night-only revival. Is that what that was?
Yes. The Ben and Maury show is now defunct, but we like to revive it every year.
It wasn't defunct that night, Mike Keith. It was very much alive
and
well.
You brought the funk.
Well, oh, I was the funk. Yeah. Actually, Mac was the funk. I was just kind of his straight man.
I think you had just gotten engaged when you were on that show. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, or just gotten married, I guess.
Okay.
I just gotten married. So, yeah, we got to talk about life events. And this is the theme of my life. In the last 2 years, all I do is go around talking about, like, life events because I've done, like, 35 in the last 2 years. Everybody else just, like, quarantined at home and learned how to make bread during the pandemic. And I crammed all of life.
You got engaged, married, and had a kid.
Bought a house, got a dog, got a kid.
Yeah.
Did the whole thing.
That's it.
2 years.
So now you have nothing to look forward to.
I have nothing else to contribute
except
to conversation.
Nashville Bachelorettes, a Ben Odo investigation.
Applicable.
Applicable. You like how I did that?
I do.
I'm a trained professional.
He's a professional.
Thursday, September 22nd at the Bell Court. I love the idea. It's a short, right?
It's a comedic short, 30 minutes.
30 minutes. But debuting at the Bell Court, that's pretty great.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I should explain.
Well, you should explain. But if you didn't know in Nashville about the whole bachelorette phenomenon, you found out during the 2019 NFL draft.
100%.
Because that's where it became apparent that this was a massive deal because many of the bachelorette parties got furious that they had planned to hold the NFL draft here.
Yeah. Oh, they were hot mad.
There was no publicity about the NFL draft coming.
You know, it's a really low-key event. You don't know unless you know. They try to keep that underground.
Only 600,000 people found out.
Yep.
But it just goes to show how these bachelorette groups are in their own world.
That's right, yeah. And it's I was thinking, coming here today, I was like, what does the Nashville bachelorette culture have to do with the Titans and NFL football? And the first answer is nothing. But then the second answer is everything.
Everything.
You
know? Yeah.
If you're going to go to a Titans game and walk across the pedestrian bridge, you are going to pass bachelorettes. So, yeah, what this is and why I'm here today is I'm here to promote this comedic short that I've been working on, Nashville Bachelorettes, a Ben Odo investigation. It's sort of like a 60 Minutes meets Daily Show type thing.
It's a good mix.
Yeah, and I'm the host of it, and I sort of donned my journalist sport coat, and we basically just investigated this culture. I mean, it's huge in Nashville. Everyone that lives here knows that. But I don't think there had been some great pieces written about it, but I don't think there had been like this sort of deep dive video investigation yet. So I thought, you know who's the guy for that? Ben.
So how deep of a dive are we diving here? Because it can get a little murky. That's a weird thing to dive into as a dude, especially.
Right. And of course, like, I'm not an idiot. Obviously, I know I should not be the one to do this. It's a little...
Which means you should.
Yeah. Yes. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. And I do want to say right off the bat that we do not laugh at the Bachelorettes. We laugh with them. So this is not like a hit piece at all. It's really just, you know... It's not a divisive issue in Nashville, as you guys know. It's a lightning rod issue. Like, everyone has a strong opinion on The Bachelorette. So how deep, Amy, it was, well, let's get opinions from the business people who benefit from them, people who maybe don't benefit from them. I think we talked to, like, a dozen business owners in town, honky-tonk owners, transportainment owners, bar owners. We went outside Nashville. I talked to a Bachelorette expert, like a professor at Penn State Abington.
Whoa, that's a thing?
Mm-hmm. It goes deep.
There's an expert on Bachelorettes.
She is a sociology professor at Penn State Abington, and her expertise is on like women's rituals, and she wrote a book on the Bachelorette ritual and Bachelorette parties. Oh, I also, here's another one for you. I'd read on Wikipedia that Eleanor Roosevelt hosted the first hen party in the White House in the 1940s. So we had an interview with the nation's leading scholar on Eleanor Roosevelt. So we got deep here.
Man, as a person who's...
And this is funny?
It sounds hilarious.
Allegedly.
There's nothing like Eleanor Roosevelt for a big laugh.
It works. And like, for instance, you know, so it's about the Bachelorettes, but it's about kind of how people in town contend with it. Like... Tom Morales,
yeah, sure.
Was
yeah.
I guess Butch Spiridon,
yep,
who brought the NFL draft to Nashville. You know, we interviewed him, and then of course we followed around a group for a weekend, and we're like, all right, well let's go experience this firsthand.
Oh, so you participated in a Bachelorette party?
I was a Bachelorette for a weekend. That's right.
How did that go for you?
And lightning?
I don't spoil it, but I mean, do you feel like a different person after experiencing that?
Without giving away what we learned, I think we got to the root of what this is really all about. Because there are Bachelorette, I mean, part of the reason is that they've become so big, right?
Aren't Nashville and Austin the two biggest Bachelorette destinations?
I mean, Nashville's the one. There's no question.
Yeah, I think Austin's actually number two. Because when I was in Austin in February, I saw the same sort of culture. When I knew what it was immediately.
Well, right, because, I mean, you know the signs. You live here.
Well, because I always end up following around the party bus thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
right outside Nissan Stadium. Every time I pull out of a meeting at Nissan Stadium, I get behind.
They pick up there, yeah.
Well, they let them off there to take a picture by the river.
Mm.
And so, I mean, sometimes it will take me 15 minutes just to get to the interstate following the... You know, the moonshine wagon or whatever it is going. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Can I ask you, Amy, because
please.
This is, I mean, right, this is relevant to us as people that live here. But you are recently, what is your sort of take on it as someone of Bachelorette age?
Bachelorette age, that's nice. I think it's fun. I think it can get out of hand rather quickly. I don't scream and I don't jump, which are two things that happen weirdly a lot.
Even on the field during games?
Yeah, I'm not a screamer per se. And so I'm not going to like ride around in a bus and be like, aah! It just doesn't do anything for me. And I'm not going to go to a concert and like jump up and down. Those are things I don't do. But like the gathering of friends just for a weekend, I think is great. And I think that's what it should be. I think sometimes it can get a little ridiculous. I'm excited to get your perspective on what is she, a doctor of female rituals? Women's rituals?
She's a sociologist.
Yes. He's a sociologist professor.
Yeah.
Her name is Beth Montemuro.
I want to meet this woman. I'm excited to get your perspective on Bachelorette parties.
Yeah. Again, without giving too much away, this thing is it's really, we kind of straddle both worlds in this. We call it a documentary. It's really a news magazine piece, but it's the ritual itself, the Bachelorette ritual, and then it's also the Nashville of it all. I live here. I'm a citizen, so I come at it from a citizen's perspective. So I guess what I can say without giving too much away.
Well, just give it all away. Go ahead. We're on the OTP here.
I think the conclusion is that bachelorettes are a symptom of some sort of thing that's going on in Nashville right now, and not the issue itself. I think they're a bit of a scapegoat. And I'm with you, Amy. Like, the gathering of friends just to be with one another, that's fantastic. And we're all just trying to do that and to find an excuse to hang out with one another. But there's something else afoot here in Nashville that's bugging people that live here. And we get into that, and hopefully it's a little funny. I don't know. But for $20, you can find out at
the Bell Court, September 22nd at the Bell Court. Where can they purchase tickets?
Tickets can be purchased on the Bell Court's website, and you can also follow us at Nash Batch Film.
Is there a star? Does a star emerge from this short? Outside of you, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really, and I'm not saying this like as a hey, but it is sort of about me in a way. Like, I'm sort of your guide through this whole thing, your Sherpa, if you will.
The old bachelorette Sherpa.
It's like that professor at Penn State.
Yeah.
That made up thing she's got going.
That's great.
Yeah, she's the bachelor. It's kind of like how I went through college, just made something up.
Oh, and then the other star would be these, I would say, these two women, the Jug Sisters. The Jug Sisters. Sorry, I'm saying a lot of words today.
Where are they from?
They're from Nash Trash Tours, which is the pink bus.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've been behind them, too.
Yeah. And they're like the original transportainment owners, and they have strong feelings against the Bachelorettes.
Do they really?
They do. And
I would think they would be totally for it, but I guess I'll have to watch the film.
Some might say. And
$20.
$20.
That's it.
But for you?
Yes.
$10.50.
Wow,
nice.
Mike.
Did you have a bachelor party?
I did not. We went and played golf the morning I got married. We decided that's what we wanted to do, and so as a group we played in a scramble golf tournament and had a great time and had a great round. So I did not regret that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That was good. I had like a bachelorette afternoon. I had a shower in the morning, and then a couple of us went wine tasting.
But don't you think the bachelorette...
And then had dinner, and that was
it. Don't you think the bachelorette parties are better than those stupid games?
Oh, I allow games at no events.
Yes.
If there's a game, I'm not doing it.
Like at showers.
Yeah.
They have games.
Oh.
Oh, no. Forced entertainment is what we call it in my house, and it's not allowed at any events. No, I feel
when
strongly
about it. When
will your
future husband lose his hair? You know, what? That's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we do games. I mean, we on this short, we go to brunch, obviously.
Well, of course. You have to brunch.
We go to like a facial oil place.
Well, this sounds lovely so far.
Yeah, we go to a spin art. We do like some art during the weekend.
That's weird.
A male dancer shows
up. Of course, yeah. At the spin art?
Separately.
Okay.
Separately.
Just wondering.
We had an astrology. It's not in it. We cut it, but there was an astrology.
So what you're saying is Rhett Bryan's in this.
He is.
Good. Good.
He is.
Yes. That, I didn't mean to give it away, but that may help you sell some more tickets.
I'll be honest, I don't know who that is.
That makes it so much better. There's astrology, like a reading of some sort?
Yes, there is. We cut that scene. But
no.
But they're all
how
like,
long
there
could
are
it
games.
Have been?
Okay, so that's I'm glad you asked that. We shot, I think, 36 hours.
Did you really?
For 30 minutes.
Wow.
So
did you set out to make it 30 minutes, or did you eventually say that was going to be the best way to do it?
I think that, you know, people say, like, a story should take as long as it takes to tell it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think we knew it was going to be somewhere around, like, 45 minutes or whatever, but we only had the resources to make it about 30 minutes. And that's how long people want to watch it.
That's about it. That's where it caps out. How long did you hear, "What?" just in your dreams?
Or do you still hear that in your dreams?
Yeah.
So you're referring to
the
woo sound.
Girl call, yes.
It's not that I heard it that, I mean, we certainly heard it a lot, and you hear it if you live in Nashville. I think the thing that I really felt deep in my bones coming away from this was like, they really are everywhere, you know? Like, it's like wherever you go, there they are. And that was kind of my thing coming away from this was like, well, we were downtown and they were downtown. And then we were going out to the Airbnb and they're at the Airbnb. And then like we were just always crossing paths with the bachelorettes. So, I mean, they're everywhere.
So I was at 12 South having dinner last Friday night and they were all the way out at 12 South.
Oh, yeah. Popular spot. Get brunch, do some light shopping.
Yes.
But can I just say something to that
point?
Sure,
absolutely.
In trying to take a balanced look at the bachelorette culture in Nashville, one thing we discover in the documentary is, like, they really are just a small percentage. They're like, less than 1% of overall tourists in Nashville. So it's, again, very visible, very loud, not really, you know, a thing at the end of the day.
Can I ask a silly question? Are the fellas flocking to Nashville the same way that girls are? Is it also a bachelor party destination, or is that still like Vegas?
No, I think Nashville is becoming a bachelor party destination as well.
They're just not as loud, I guess.
No, they're probably louder and more obnoxious. I think behind the scenes, I was definitely feeling more like, wow, I really like the bachelorettes a lot more than I do the bachelors or just the other tourists who are like trying to jump in front of our camera. The bachelorettes were certifiably lovely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's nice.
What do you think of that, Mike?
I think it's fascinating. And I think this is going to be a massive hit, which is why we wanted to tell the OT people about it and have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
Nashville Bachelorettes, a Ben Odo investigation, 30-minute film set to premiere Thursday, September 22nd at the Bell Court. And you can get tickets at nashbatchfilm.com. Nashbatchfilm.com or at the Bell Court, which, speaking of lovely, how nice is the Bell Court?
Bell Court's great.
Yep. Ben, thanks for stopping by. Congratulations on the project, and I hope you'll have Coach Mack and Amy back on the revival of the Ben and Maury show when it comes back around.
No question. And thank you for having me. Good luck this season.
Tighten up. Okay, that was worthwhile.
That makes you feel better.
It does make me feel better momentarily.
Because
he's a funny guy. And I'm sure that's going to be absolutely fantastic. The Bell Court is amazing. And September 22nd.
Yes. Everybody get tickets.
Everybody.
While you can.
Yeah. And so take a breath. Do things tomorrow, Saturday, even Sunday morning to take a deep breath.
To ease your mind.
Ease your mind. Like, we just took a deep breath on the OTP for the OT people and for our friend Ben.
Yes.
And I feel a little better. Now I'm going to go take 6 more Excedrin.
That's okay. Whatever you need to do to get through.
It's probably not.
Whatever you need to do. Just watch your liver. Yes. It's okay.
I really do. I get this worked up.
I know you do. I think it's an exciting time.
I will admit, I'm still glad that in the 25th year, I still get this worked up.
It means you care.
It does mean you care. And I'm thankful for that part of it once the game kicks off.
I'm still very superstitious, so
I'm very superstitious.
Yeah, it's because you have no control.
You have no control.
It's a control issue.
And of course, this is like the worst sport for that because everybody's so equal.
Yep.
I mean, the Titans are favored over the Giants, but if the Giants win, nobody's going to be just worldly shocked because it's the NFL.
Everybody's good.
Everybody can get everybody.
Yep. That's what makes it fun.
Titans need to go get this one.
Yes, they do.
3:25 kickoff Central Time. Titans Countdown with Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan at 2 o'clock Central Time. You got a big show planned?
We've got a big show planned. Just a lot of good stuff from Coach Mack. You know, he brings the heat every single week. Then we're going to have some Kevin Byard. We're going to have some Rashad Weaver. We've got all kinds of little tricks.
First 27,000 fans through the gate get a rally towel.
Do they?
Yes.
I love rally towel games.
I love rally towel games as well.
Yes. That's great. Come early. Make sure you get a towel.
I would go early.
Yeah, no, seriously, come early.
I would go early because it's the first game of the year, but it's also the first game of the year with a crowd this size. Yes, there were 2 preseason games. But the place is going to be packed. And so get to your parking space early. Get to your tailgate early. Get in the gate early. Because first game, everybody's working out every kink.
Yep.
It's just normal. Get there.
And once you're in there, it's not like you have to just, like, sit and stare at nothing. Walk around. Get you a beer. Get you some pizza. It's Lemon Huskies. Enjoy yourself. Live your life.
What would you
get
if you could get anything as you went through? What would you hit? I think I would probably hit Martin's Barbecue.
Yeah, I was going to say, after years of walking by the Martin's Barbecue little kiosk because they smoke everything there.
There.
And so they start just ungodly early smoking things and getting all of their barbecue going. So by the time we get in there, ugh, it just smells like heaven. And we never have a chance to stop and actually eat it. So I would say Martin's, but also Slim and Husky's is very legit. Party Fowl
for
has...
For people who don't know, that's great pizza.
It's pizza. Flatbread pizza.
It's really good.
And it's really good. I went there during CMA Fest twice.
Twice.
Yeah, at Nissan Stadium because it's just really good pizza. Party Fowl is really good fried chicken if you're looking for the hot chicken
vibe.
They
got the hot chicken.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good stuff over at Nissan Stadium. And now they have all those little twice daily kiosks where you can just run in and grab a drink real quick.
And check yourself out.
Check yourself out. Lickety split.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it's so fast, so convenient. So come in early, grab you a drink, grab you some food, and hang out.
And as we wrap up, we also want to mention the new television show that is part of our Titans arsenal. 10:30 every Sunday morning, it's Titans Game Day.
Woohoo!
On WSMV 4 in Nashville. And really looking forward to that. Coach Mack and I will be doing that show with Chris Harris.
Very exciting.
Very excited to do that, something we've never done before. But that program, it will emanate from the West Club, and we're kind of getting that started and underway, and we'll have really everything up and running in a normal fashion coming up for the Las Vegas game on September 25th, because the first two games are a little odd. The first game's a 3:25 start. The second game at Buffalo is a Monday night game. But with the Las Vegas game, you will be able to come up to the Wesley Mortgage Club on the west side and, you know, hang out with Coach Mack and enjoy a beverage and something to eat and watch the show and be part of the show. And it's going to be a lot of fun. 10:30 on Sundays, Channel 4 in Nashville.
What a great opportunity to get one final update before the game starts.
Well, that's it. That's why we really like the idea, because you'll have the inactives. And it came off what we did with Ashley Farrell for years. We did the live look-in.
Right.
And that was something we streamed on all our social and digital channels. Lots of people watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, tons of people watched it. We were stunned, and it's like, well, let's think about this. They want football information before a football game.
Well, we can do that.
We can do that.
We know how to do that.
We have that ability.
Yep.
So, and we have the best guy in the world in Coach Mack.
I'm so excited to
see
this.
Yeah, I think he's going to become a massive television star.
Well,
he'll be a presenter at the CMAs after this.
As long as he plugs the podcast.
He won't. He won't do that, but... As long as he plugs this podcast.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the OTP.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
You weren't talking about Tackham?
No, I was talking about the OTP, actually.
The Titans,
but
Amy,
he
Coach
could
Mack.
Also promote that one. We do have...
Titans, Amy, Coach Mack podcast.
Yes, we Tackham, do have a lovely little
Tackham.
Show.
You do have a lovely show.
Tackham.
No, he's going to plug Coach Mack stuff.
Yeah, he is. That's true.
That's what he's... But I think he will be the breakout star of the show, because people who aren't familiar with him...
Will become
very familiar with him. So he'll be... presenting the new artist of the year, the Horizon Award.
Well, shoot, what Coach Mack needs is more friends.
And to present this year's Horizon Award winner with Tanya Tucker, it's Coach Dave McGinnis. That could happen.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
It really would.
To see the witty banter between them before they present the award.
I don't know if Mack would let her banter back is the problem.
She would say something, go, that's interesting.
That's
now,
enough.
Let's get on to the... yeah. Fascinating. Thank you.
It's what he did when he was on Bed Odo's show.
Yes, that's what he did.
He just said, I'm still talking.
I'm still talking. Here. Well, and that's what he does on the radio.
It's great.
It's like, that's enough for you over there, Shorty. Let's get on with this.
I think it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. That's why people love it.
It really is. It really is.
Because he is him.
Yes, 100% through and through.
And we are us.
We sure are.
We are Mike Keith and Amy Wells, and this is the OTP. Do you like how I ended that?
That was good.
Thanks.